This is Mild Spoilers, a solo conversation show about Dune Part 2. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode number 6 of Mild Spoilers. I'm your host, Ben Perry. On this episode, we'll be going deep into Dune Part 2.
Okay. I'm here. It's been a while since you've had one of those nightmares. Tell me, what was it about?
It's only fragments. Nothing's clear. You've been fighting the Harkonnens for decades.
Look!
My family's been fighting them for centuries.
Your blood comes from dukes and great houses. Here, we're equal. What we do for the benefit of all.
Let me just start off by saying I am in no way a Dune fanboy. I haven't read a single page of the text. The 1984 film is a distant thought in my mind, as I saw it in the 80s. The only thing I recall is that I loved Duncan Idaho. If you were to read my review of Dune Part 1 on Letterboxd, you would think otherwise. I called it not only a sci-fi masterpiece, but an all-time masterpiece as well. What the collective talent did with that film will withstand the test of time and remain a masterpiece. And never did I think they could actually top it. But miraculously, they did. I sat in the theater, a grin, ear to ear, the entire time. I even shed a tear or two just out of sheer cinematic joy. As the seconds and minutes and hours passed by, I didn't want it to end. And when it did, all I wanted to do was watch it again. As I walked out of the theater that night, shaking my head in disbelief of the cinematic experience I had just witnessed, all I could think about was Star Wars. More specifically, The Empire Strikes Back, and the perfection of that sequel. And those who truly know me, know of my love for the galaxy far, far away. I've even got a dog named Snips, for Pete's sake. But before I even got into my car that night, I had decided that Dune might be my favorite sci-fi of all time. Let's start from the top. This film might be the birth of the next generation of Hollywood stars. Timothée Chalamet has been all over doing all types of roles and acting on quite a high level during that time, but his rendition of Paul Atreides will skyrocket him to the next level of absolute stardom. From the beginning of Part 1 to the end of Part 2, his transformation is meteoric. You can just feel in his voice the change of his character over the course of time. As Chani, Zendaya reaches a level of acting just with her facial expressions, reserved solely for the biggest stars in Hollywood history. Sure, she's been great in a lot of films, and most notably on television in Euphoria. But again, this role and this film will take her to the top of the heap. Especially given that she was expanding on a character that had pretty a small amount of depth in the books, or so I'm told, and she brought that character to a whole new level. And Austin Butler, Elvis himself. Sure, he had the voice, but as Fade Rotha, he becomes unrecognizable, losing himself in the psychosis of a character and becoming the lunatic nephew of the Baron. When he arrives in the second act, the tone shifts. And not just for the act that he's in, but for the whole film. He sets that tone with his terrifying portrayal. top tier acting. Javier Bardem, who will always be known as Anton Chigurh from No Country for Old Men, is chewing the scenery as Stilgar, bringing a ton of levity to a very heavy film that needed it. Josh Brolin does an awesome job and takes ownership of Gurney in this film. Rebecca Ferguson, one of my favorite actors right now, gives Jessica depth and intrigue. Stellan Skarsgård, Dave Bautista, and on and on. Ironically, the only real nit I can pick is with the acting I'm speaking of so highly right now. Florence Pugh seems wooden to me, locked in a narrator role even when she isn't narrating. And Christopher Walken, who we all love, is just Christopher Walken. I half expected him to say,
"Oh, you're talking to me all wrong. It's the wrong tone. You do it again, I'll stab you in the face with a soldering iron. Is that right? Let me ask you something. Eh? Does your mother sew?"
But it didn't ruin the film in any way. Simply something I noticed. What happens when you put writers, a composer, a cinematographer, a production department, and a director, all at the peak of their powers together to craft a film? Dune Part 2. That's what happens. The words put on paper by Villeneuve and John Spates dance onto the screen and paint a vivid story. Adapting such provocative work can't be easy, and I don't have a frame of reference when it comes to the original texts, but I feel as though these two went above and beyond to give us a translation as compelling and visceral as the book. And Hans Zimmer, after blowing the literal doors off with a cacophony of sound in part one, reins it in slightly and crafts a stunning score that never felt intrusive. The sounds and music feel integrated into this film like not many that I can recall. I wouldn't doubt another Oscar nom for this score. And Greg Fraser, damn. Van Hoytema, Deakins, Savitas, Kanji, Morrison, all names that belong in the best of the modern time. Fraser might just be the best of them. His visual storytelling is leaps and bounds ahead of its time. Close up, wide shot, to bring us intimate feeling, then smash to a wide understanding of the scene is genius. While Van Hoytema is still my favorite cinematographer, Fraser is technically one of the best working right now. And this film is an example of that. And before I get to Denis, I want to give the production team a standing ovation. The ability to make this world feel familiar yet distant, lived in yet new, and stark yet plentiful is a feat I don't even think Frank Herbert ever imagined. This film is a walking, talking advertisement for real sets and locations over green screen. To be able to interact with your environment is exactly what the actors needed. And the team behind the scenes of this production design crushed it. And Denis Villeneuve, thank you. Thank you for being as passionate as you are. Thank you for never compromising your art for the masses. Thank you for not keeping deleted scenes and giving us films as you intended. And thank you for bringing us one of the best sci-fi films in the history of cinema. This saga, like Star Wars, is one I will revisit year after year after year. And because of your I will see new things in each viewing. I don't ever want to come off as disingenuous when it comes to my film criticism, and everyone and their brother is praising this film, but think about why. There has to be a reason why. Release your preconceived notions of the books and embrace the ideas of a masterful director at the peak of his power. And as I said before, I'm no book reader when it comes to Dune. I went in blind. After my first viewing of Dune Part 1, I was confused as hell. But after viewing number 2, I felt like I had cracked the code. I was invested in the future of Arrakis and the Fremen and the prophecy that Paul was embracing. And that translation owes a lot to films of the past, like Lord of the Rings, and of course Star Wars. One having borrowed from his predecessors, and the other building off of them. I'm going back for a second viewing Monday, and an IMAX viewing on Tuesday. All that means is my opinions may change after that. Because after your first viewing, you have expectations and you're looking to just be wowed. The next two viewings are going to be time that I can sit there and be critical and really look deep into the film. So be ready for next week, because I'll probably have part 2 of Dune Part 2. So thank you so much for being here and listening to me ramble on and on about things that don't truly matter. And if I spoil anything for you, I make no apologies, as this is Mild Spoilers.